Take your Bibles quickly to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to begin reading at verse 26, then we'll go over to Genesis chapter 4. If you would, let's stand together. Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Genesis 1, 26, and God said, and when God speaks, we should what? Listen. And God said, let us make man in our image. I tell you what, if the evolutionist has his way, he'll say we just happened by chance, which is being disrespectful to God. Because God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Male and female. God does not make a mistake when a child is born. They're either a male or a female, and they cannot decide later they want to change. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish or to fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for life. And you are the giver of life. And life is important to you. Not only have you given us life, but you provide a way for eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for all you provide. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother, Abel. Adam and Eve were told to be fruitful. The book of Psalms, and you may want to turn there, Psalms 127, Psalm 127, we'll find that children are an heritage of the Lord. One has written, man was created in innocence, placed in a perfect environment, subject to an absolutely simple test and warned of the consequence of disobedience. The woman fell through pride and the man deliberately. A perfect place, which shows you that man has a hard time getting things right. But let us read from the book of Psalms, in the 127th Psalm, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. The fruit of what? The womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. We have a world in which humanism is running wild. It is a religion. And what's interesting that in our public schools where they talk about freedom from religion, humanism is allowed to be alive and well. But if you look at humanism in the Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, you find this definition, a doctrine, attitude, or a way of life centered on human interest or values. Especially a philosophy that asserts the dignity and worth of man and his capacity for self-realization through reason. and that often rejects supernaturalism or rejects a divine person. It's one starting point that counts when we begin to get a view of what life is all about. We either get it through God's word or we get it through man's word. God's word talks about a divine creation. It talks about the fall of man. It talks about the flood. It talks about the need of a savior, that there is a heaven and there is a hell. Man's word is evolution brought us here. They deny the flood. The idea of ethical truths depends on the individuals and groups holding them. They believe that homosexuality is a right and that abortion is a choice. Humanism through man's eyes. Roe versus Wade will celebrate its 45th anniversary this week. As you see in the bulletin, somewhere between 58 and 60 million Americans have been aborted. 58 to 60 million. Some statistics from the 2014 abortion statistics. According to the United Nations, only 10 countries in the world have a higher abortion rate than the United States of America. 9 of those countries are communist or once part of the Soviet Union. The only non-communist country, of course, is Sweden. Does that tell us something when only communist countries and a very liberal country have more abortions than America? It tells you that we have a problem in our society. The highest pregnancies aborted in 2013 was in the District of Columbia. Does that surprise you that where our national capital is, that has the highest rate of abortions at 38%? 38% of women who get pregnant in Washington, D.C. as of 2013 aborted their children. In the state of New York, which was the highest, 33%, or 1 out of 3. The city of New York is 37%. New Jersey is second most in the way of states of 30%. Now, on the other hand, the lowest abortion rates in Wyoming, it's less than 2%. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? We find that, South Dakota is at 4% and Utah is at 5%. Thankfully, the abortion rate that rose so quickly from 1973 to 1979 and peaked in 1990 has begun a steady decline through the 90s and even continues today. A number of reasons. Number one is that many pregnant women today have to see an ultrasound of their child before it's aborted. I think that's pretty good, don't you? But do you realize that in some states, a teenage girl can have an abortion without her parents ever knowing? That's terrible, isn't it? And yet they're afraid to let us come in with the Word of God in these very same high schools where they allow the abortions. Not that they allow the abortions in the high school. Please don't think I said that. 76% of abortions are performed on females between the ages of 20 and 34. 76% through that 14-year period. Why do abortions occur? Do you remember they said, well, women should be able to have abortions if there's been rape, incest, physical problems, that the woman may die. So if I were to ask you, and you don't need to reply because I'm going to give you the answer. If I were to ask you how many abortions are performed because of rape or because of the health problems of a mother, would you say that it's less than 5%? It's 4.5%. Which tells you that the other 95.5% of children that are aborted are simply because they don't want to be inconvenienced, it's interruption of their education or career, they're too immature to raise a child, they don't want to be a single mother, they are done with having children, or they were not wanting a child in the first place. You have probably seen the same pictures that I have seen, and one was of a woman screaming at anti-abortionists, and she's holding a sign saying, "My body, my choice." Is the baby within her, her body? It's not her body. When was the choice? The choice was when she made the act that caused her to get pregnant. That was her choice. But once she was pregnant, it was taken out of her hands, if you look at it from a biblical point of view, that God is life. In the state of Florida in 2015, according to the information I have through abort73.com, 92.33% of the women who had an abortion had no reason for doing it, other than they didn't want to be pregnant. Only 5% of abortions occur in a hospital, 2% in physicians' offices. The rest occur in freestanding abortion clinics such as Planned Parenthood, which really should be called Plan to Abort. And most clinics are located near colleges and universities or in the poorest sections of major cities. And most who have an abortion have not, or is not having the abortion through an established doctor-patient relationship. You have probably heard this scenario. A woman is on the way to an abortion clinic, is hit by a car driven by the doctor who was on the way to abort this woman's child. She dies en route on the way to the hospital, as does the unborn child, and he is found guilty of 2 counts of manslaughter. You find that interesting? If he hadn't hit her and he aborts the child, he's not guilty of anything. But if he kills her on the way to the abortion clinic, he's guilty of 2 counts. Fact. If you hear nothing else, I want you to hear this. Fact. The Lord will forgive all sins, including the sin of abortion. Aren't you glad that we serve a merciful God? I was in a service where a preacher preached, and I don't know if this is true, but he said of the young woman or middle-aged woman or older woman who had an abortion that was saved, that when they got to heaven, when they met Jesus, that Jesus would introduce them to their aborted child. Now, I can't prove that to be true, but I do know this, that God is a merciful God. If you would, 1 John chapter 1. This week, as Roe v. Wade is remembered, and we think of 45 years, I have to wonder about the judges that voted in favor of it. I would presume by now most of them are dead. I have to wonder what their thoughts are today. But I know what the Word of God has to say in 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I thank God we have a merciful God, a patient God. He's not only loving, but He is concerned about each and every one of us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. For He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Aren't you glad that He has died for all the sins, and not just for some of the sins? Yes, abortion is still a major issue in America. And yes, I believe it's important that we continue the fight against it. But we need to stand up for what is right, and that is the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we may have salvation. This same book, chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Have you ever come to that point in your life where you have said, I am a sinner, and my sins have separated me from God, and there's nothing I can do to close that separation? There must be another way. May I tell you, that way is Jesus Christ, and that He was willing to die on the cross that we might have salvation. And you can know it if you are willing to come to Him. Shall we stand together? I know that the sermon's a little bit shorter today than normal, but I'll be honest, it took everything out of me just to preach that short sermon, because I believe that our enemy doesn't want us to proclaim it. But as we have this time of invitation, maybe you'd like to come and just pray. If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'll have someone show you how. Or maybe you'd just like to come and pray for yourself or for someone. Just asking the Lord for peace of mind and comfort. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time. Lord, we ask that Your will be done at this time, that the Holy Spirit would move and convict. Have Your hand upon us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.